This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. About 26 minutes from now, Brock Huard is going to drop by for his weekly visit. Never know what that little rascal is going to talk about. So we'll have that coming up. It is official. We were telling you about it yesterday afternoon. A nearly three-quarter of a $1 trillion tax increase bill has been passed and approved by the Democrats, signed by Joe Biden. And it's really amazing to watch how all this unfolds, because one of the things, they've added 86,000 IRS agents for reasons nobody's been able to explain. They have bought millions of rounds of ammo for IRS agents, which is kind of a scary prospect when we see, you know, what the FBI can do to go in without anything but flimsiest of information, and they can raid a private home. You and I could be next. And I've told you that I was targeted by the IRS after I spoke at a Tea Party rally back in 2012. And it was revealed that Barack Obama had authorized the IRS going after groups that had Patriot or Tea Party in their name. And even though I wasn't a member of any group, the fact that I spoke at a rally and then the IRS came after my wife and me, it was absolutely a disgusting overreach of government. We came away unscathed, but it took us a lot of time and energy and money to fix what they were wrongly saying was owed. And then here in Washington, Bob Fergie Ferguson, our attorney general, he is more than willing to destroy lives of anybody who's not ideologically aligned with him. So I think more than ever, people need to be aware of the danger of unchecked government. Now, here's the other thing you need to know about. Because when it is big business colluding with government, then we should really be afraid. But that's what happened with this inflation raising act. They called it inflation reduction, but every independent nonpartisan analysis said that it will increase inflation. But we now know that one of the richest men in the world, Bill Gates, that he played a very influential role in this massive tax hike. Bill Gates, it is said, that he met with West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin, who was considered the holdout that they needed to overcome. But Bill Gates, according to a new Bloomberg report, he secured the support of Joe Manchin for this Inflation Reduction Act. Bill Gates also offered a pep talk to Senator Chuck Schumer and has been wooing Joe Manchin on climate change spending for the last 3 years. Why do I find this disturbing? Because I've in fact, this goes back to the first day I ever had this radio show. 27 and a half years ago, I said that one of the foundational bedrock ideologies of this radio show was going to be individual freedom and liberty, and that the two most powerful entities that would love to enslave us are government and big corporations. And certainly over the last 27 years, nothing has happened to dissuade me from, you know, I was 33 years old when I got this radio show. That was pretty sharp observation for a kid. But it's been true ever since. Now, why would Bill Gates want to be involved in this? Well, because, as you know, what's going on right now, and if you are a member of the middle class, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's an all-out war on the middle class in America. Because the rich can't be controlled because they have enough financial independence to be free from massive control. And then you have the poorest people who are completely enslaved to government handouts. And so government, leftist government, democratic government, and corporations, they don't like middle class. Because the middle class are like the swing votes. A lot of them in the middle class are aspirational. And they believe that with hard work, maybe they can become financially self-sufficient. But if you take a few whacks at them with things like an IRS audit, 75% of which are on people who make under $200,000 a year, which means small businesses, most small businesses are going to be exposed to these IRS audits that are coming. But they can control you if they make you dependent on government. So I truly believe that Bill Gates is part of this corporate America that does not want to see a healthy, vibrant middle class. He helped create a lot of multi-millionaires through Microsoft, but he also has invested in a lot of ways that the poorest people will be beholden to him. The other thing that's so sick and wrong about a three-quarter of a trillion-dollar tax increase is what Democrats were saying just a few years ago. We are in a recession. We've had two straight months of negative GDP. That is the definition of a recession. And here's what Democrats, I've played this before, but it's worth reminding you, after they signed this massive tax hike yesterday, here's what they were saying for years and years and years about raising taxes in a recession.
The last thing you want to do is to raise taxes in the middle of a recession.
When the economy is in decline, you don't want to raise overall taxes.
I don't think during a time of recession you mess with any of the taxes or increase any taxes.
No one is going to want to raise taxes when we have a recession.
In an economy like this, the last thing we should do is raise taxes on the middle class.
And they just continue to lie. People who make $20,000 a year are going to be hit with tax increases, according to the Congressional Budget Office, nonpartisan, CBO. $20,000 a year, and you're going to get your taxes increased thanks to this Democrat bill that was signed yesterday. Absolutely disgusting. And you want an example of why I hate politics so much? Can you imagine being, you know, Chuck Schumer's in that sound clip. Can you imagine being someone who says you never raise taxes in a recession, and then when you have control, you're the biggest booster of raising taxes during a recession? I mean, just the soullessness, the lack of any kind of a moral compass for people in the world of politics. It's sad to watch. It's sad that they keep getting rewarded for that kind of sleaze. Okay, next up in the Fast 15. Speaking of the middle class, back to school times. There's a lot of craziness. And we told you this was coming. But mask mandates are coming back for our children around the country. It's happening in the most liberal of areas right now. They still say, we talked to Chris Reichtall a couple of weeks ago. He said he will not support a mask mandate in the Washington public schools, but he said if any county wants to do it, they can. And King County has been making more and more noise about bringing back mask mandates. But in Democrat-run Philadelphia, they talked to a pre-K student who just found out they're going to have to wear a mask all year round.
August 29th is the first official back-to-school day for Philadelphia school district students. And kids will have to mask up for what? At least the first 10 days. While kids in pre-K, get this, Rachel, have to stay masked all year what? Long in Philadelphia.
It's so crazy.
Insane. Pre-K kids mask up all year long in Philly. This news comes just days after the CDC dropped a majority of COVID-19 protocols, regardless of whether you're vaccinated or unvaccinated. Wow.
Child abuse.
100%.
It is. It is. I truly believe it's child abuse. We just had Lee Finna on from Washington Policy yesterday, and she has just released a study. IQs of public school students in Washington State the last 2 years dropped an average of 23%, which means you might have been a whip-smart kid 3 years ago, and now you're below average on the IQ scale. You go from 120 to mid-90s, thanks to the social isolation and the masks. In Democrat-run Maryland, same thing.
In Prince George's County, don't go back to class until 2 weeks from today, but when they do return, they will be required to wear masks. The school district says the decision was made because of the highly contagious Omicron variant. The decision also comes after the CDC released updated COVID guidelines that include getting rid of social distancing requirements and also easing quarantine recommendations.
Because they were all bogus. They said you have to keep 6 feet distance. And it turns out that did nothing. They were making it up. It was like Jay Inslee and all of his mandates. You gotta be boosted if you want to be a state employee. And then a week ago, he quietly drops the booster requirement because there's no medical reason why people need to be boosted in the most liberal county in Kentucky.
The Jefferson County Public School Board voted not to end the mask mandate across its 165 schools. That means masks will still be required inside of all JCPS facilities and on buses.
This is cruel. This is just absolute cruelty. And Nicole, you and I have been talking about this for almost 3 years now. It's just I truly don't know what parents are thinking in allowing this to happen.
I don't either. And does it make you wonder if they want everybody that disagrees with them to move out of town?
Yeah, that's one of the theories, is that the far left governments, whether it be county or city or state government, that they want to eliminate all opposition. And the one thing that will actually move parents to action is the well-being of their kids. And, you know, we're going to talk to Brock in a few minutes here. Brock makes no bones about the fact that it was, you know, he and his wife both played for the Huskies. They both grew up here. And they moved out of the region because of their kids' well-being. And that's, I'm glad you brought that up, because it does make you wonder if they do these unimaginably cruel things to children just to try to drive the families that might not think like the radical leftists, just to drive them away, eliminate the opposition. It's crazy.
It is crazy.
It's crazy. Meanwhile, thanks to Joe Bidenflation, the school costs are insane.
Kicking off today's back-to-school supply drive. Kids are returning to classrooms nationwide, and the cost of supplies is soaring. And this morning, we want to help.
Yes, according to adoptaclassroom.org, teachers, get this, spent an average of $750 of their own money last year on classroom materials. That was the highest amount ever.
And here's what teachers are facing this year. The cost of pencils up 40% since 2020. A ream of paper rising nearly 60%.
Pencils and paper are through the roof. It's insane. All right. And oh, and then how about this? Another reason for this massive inflation in this country is our government was sending out trillions of dollars in what they called PPP loans because of all these businesses that were suffering because of COVID. You want to hear some of the business owners who got massive COVID PPP loans? And because it's such a mess when Biden took over that it looks like they're going to ask almost nobody to actually pay back these so-called loans. Kanye West's Yeezy LLC borrowed almost $2.4 million. $1.7 million went to payroll for a 106-person staff. Khloe Kardashian, her denim brand, Good American LLC, got a $1.2 million PPC loan for 57 workers. That full amount has already been forgiven. It was just a gift from the taxpayers to Khloe Kardashian, who's worth, you know, tens of millions of dollars. And on goes. Tom Brady, his company, got a PPP loan. This is why I'm against government bailouts. In 2008, when the economy was going to collapse if we don't bail out the banks. Both John McCain and Barack Obama, right before the election, they both said, we support a bank bailout. And that's when I came on this radio show and I said, I would never vote for John McCain or Barack Obama. And I voted for the libertarian Bob Barr, who said he never would have supported. I knew it was throwing my vote away, but at least I could have a conscience and actually vote the way I believe. Reese Witherspoon got a big PPC loan. Nancy Pelosi's husband, they're worth $130 million. He took millions in PPC loans, and almost all of it has been forgiven. So you and I get to work our butts off. We get to pay ridiculous tax rates, and then a chunk of the money we work so hard for is given to Kanye West, Jay-Z, Khloe Kardashian, Tom Brady, and all the rest who get the money forgiven. So it turns out to be just a gift from us to them. And you know what? None of them have even thanked me. Ingrates. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Okay, Brock Huard always pops in for a Wednesday visit. It's always great fun. And that's next here on the Dory Monson Show.
Here's Dory Monson with Brock Huard, brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy.
All right, here we go. Wednesday afternoon, Brock Huard drops by for his weekly visit. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Dory. A beautiful August day, and nice to be back in the Rocky Mountains, but it was a great week with you out in the Northwest, and you know, you can't beat the Northwest in August when the sun's out. Can't beat it.
Yeah, this has been pretty good. I must admit, horrible spring in June, but this hasn't been too bad. So, but I want to bring our listeners in.
Okay.
To the ravages of time, because Brock and I have a chance to just, you know, visit for a minute or two before we go on the air live. And here was our conversation. I told Brock that I got my shoulder MRI on Friday and I get the results tomorrow. And you told me what?
Oh, I get my results on my back x-ray here at the chiropractor in about an hour and a half. And I'm dreading what I'm about to hear. I'm dreading it.
Because it happened to us.
At 28, I remember conversation with the great Stan Herring, spine and head doctor for the Seahawks, and I think it's Swedish, downtown Seattle, wonderful man. Mm-hmm. And I remember I told the chiropractor this on Monday when I had my x-rays and my visit. I said, hey, listen, just to let you know. Maybe I shouldn't tell you this, but because it will bias whatever you think of my back. Uh-huh. But I said, my last year in the NFL, I went on injured reserve. And one of my last conversations with the doctor was, okay, this was an MRI they took in my back. And I said, if that MRI were John Doe, you did not know who it was, age, name, nothing. John Doe's MRI gets on your board right there and you're looking at it.
Right.
How old is that back?
And?
He paused, dramatic pause, as I just did. He said mid-50s.
That's younger than me, though. You got that going for you.
I was 29 at this time. I was like, mid-50s. Like, well, yeah, bone spurs, fractures, degenerative discs already. Like, so it's been, so I was 29, I'm 46. It's been 17 years since I've had a scan. And he was, you know, poking on my back. I'm like, ugh. So I go in about an hour and a half, and I will get the results. And if I was mid-50s at 29, I'm 46.
Yeah.
I'll be curious if I'm mid-70s now, what kind of aging process is going on.
For some reason, just last night, I was thinking about being in the newsroom at King 5 when I was a 22-year-old young buck. And they had a railing at the top of the staircase, and it was 42 inches. It was like a little ledge railing. Okay. It was 42 inches off the ground. And I could, from a standing start, I could jump onto the top of that railing.
Yeah,
like a 42-inch box jump.
Yep.
And now, Brock, here's what I thought about it. Because I was watching a basketball video, and a ball got stuck between the rim and the backboard.
Uh-huh.
And so I got up from my seat, and I went to see how high I could jump, simulating knocking the ball out from. I maybe got 4 inches. Maybe.
Why would I like to see you try to reenact that? Is that, am I a bad human to see you at King 5 if that stairway is still there and say, hey, Dory, I'm sorry, you got to do it.
Yeah.
We're going to be here all day and night until you hop up 42 inches. Let's see. Yeah. Let's see what you can do. Yeah, oh, we're getting old. Getting old. How is your shoulder? Is it better? Is it frozen?
Well, it's not frozen like you misdiagnosed on the boat.
Okay, good.
I don't know, because when they this is a pathetic conversation. Okay. But when they put the contrast dye in, I asked them to toss in a little cortisone, too.
Uh-huh.
So that cortisone, Brock.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness, that stuff works well.
For sure.
So there you have it. So Seahawks, they
are you
have
ready?
Had one game.
Are you ready? You ready to watch them in prime time, Dory? You ready? I asked you a month ago, you ready for this to become a Mariners town? And we're moving. We're moving that direction. 48 games to go. 2-game lead in the wild cards.
Yep.
Favorable schedule. They're finding ways to win. This thing's going to happen. Got a young superstar. Now it looks like another one. This Luis Castillo. I don't know if you've seen him pitch, but he is Pedro Felix-esque in his stuff. Been just awesome.
He's good.
So are you ready to watch the Seahawks in prime time, ESPN, national television? You ready to watch them without Russell Wilson for the first time in 10 years?
But you're just telling me about the contrast between Denver, where you are, and how it is just dead here in Seattle when it comes to football.
I wouldn't say just dead. I saw the ratings. The ratings for the first one, Dory, were pretty good. I don't know if you see those tweeted out? They were still pretty good.
No.
It was like a 44 share or 44% of the audience. Still kind of curious to see. So
really?
I'm not going to say.
A 44 share for a preseason game?
Yes. Yes.
Seriously?
Yeah. I mean, back in the day, after the Super Bowl, that was over 50%, right? I got a chance to call many of those years, and it was always mid to upper 40s every year. I mean, it was one of the markets. New Orleans was the other one. We looked at this for 10 years. They were top 3 or 4 in the NFL preseason ratings over the last 10 years. So I was curious, and they were still pretty good. It was still a good number, and national television's coming in tomorrow night. We chatted with my buddy Steve Levy, who'll be calling the game, and he was like, man, it was weird. I'm not going to lie. It's been a Russell Wilson town, a Russell Wilson team, a Russell Wilson QB, and to not have him in the building and to have him in Denver. Steve actually calls the preseason for Denver as well, where he is. He is the savior. He is. When you pull up, remember those big banners out at Lumen Field where you got players and all the stars? He hadn't played a snap for Denver. And his picture is biggest and most prominent, and he is the guy to resurrect the Broncos. And on the flip side, it'll be the first time, and you'll hear this on the broadcast a ton, first time in 10 years, regular season, preseason, where Russell Wilson's not a part of it, and it is a big, big hole, no question about it.
So they're going to go get that Jimmy Garoppolo from the 40, because I could not possibly figure out why the 49ers would trade him to a team within the division.
Yeah, they're not
they just
going to
dump
that.
The salary, and they don't care.
Yeah, they're not going to, if they have a choice, they're not going to trade him in the division. And I don't think the Seahawks would want to trade and take on $25 million for a season. I think that would be dumb. So I think it's a game of chicken until his money would be guaranteed, which is at the end of August. If Garoppolo is on the regular season roster, when those rosters are set for week 1, the 49ers would owe him $25 million. So between now and then, it's a game of chicken with some of the other teams and organizations in the league of whether or not they would trade for him or wait till he gets cut and then would have his choice of teams to go to.
Is this unfair on my part that when he was a rookie, Jimmy Garoppolo, or I don't know if he's when he's a rookie, because he was in New England for a few years before he came to San Francisco. But anyway, when he became a starter, isn't he the guy who started dating porn stars right away?
Yeah.
When he became a starting quarterback? Is that an unfair thing for me to judge somebody's football skills on?
I mean, it's a part of judgment. I mean, I don't think that's unfair. Certainly not for you and me doing this show on this station. Certainly, certainly a fair conversation. On the other station, how much does it get it play a role in it? I don't know. I mean, I'll say this too. He's probably the best looking QB in the league.
Oh, stop it.
I mean, him or Tom Brady.
Stop it.
He's a good looking man, Dory. He's a very chiseled. He's got those dark features.
You know, now you're making me uncomfortable.
Why?
Because you open the, I don't like
you
to
open
talk
the door.
About the relative the attractiveness of men because, as we discussed a few minutes ago, I'm deteriorating so fast.
Yes.
Just the fact that you even notice that, it makes me wonder what you say about me when we're not talking to
each
other.
He's got great eyes, his beautiful chin, great hair. He's a very, you would upgrade that way. You would attract a certain part of the audience because he's a good looking man.
Okay.
And I'm not afraid to say it, even if I have the back of a 7-year-old. Okay, yeah, what?
7-year-old?
Go ahead, change the subject.
That was 7-year-old. Okay, real quick. This guy for the San Diego Padres. Fernando Tatis
Jr.
80 game suspension, 23 years old, signed a, what was it, 15-year, $340 million contract, something like that?
Yep.
I know you're talking about getting back to being a baseball town here, but when there's stuff like, and that's been going on for decades in the sport, you know, certainly in the, you know, the Barry Bonds and
Mark. There have been a fair amount of Dominican players, and not to judge them in particular, but there have been, Nelson Cruz and Robbie Cano, and they have seen their share of players there. Unfortunately, Tatis now joins that list of guys that, get popped. Now, he blamed, I think this was a first for me. I don't think I've heard ringworm. I've heard a lot of others, the supplement, my creatine, it was in the freezer. I've heard a lot of things, but I don't know if I've ever heard him taking a supplement for ringworm that had this performance enhancing substance in it.
Because if that were true, I think we'd all be going and getting ringworm.
Yeah, exactly. So that was a new one for me, but. And this will come into play, oh, by the way, this will have a Seattle angle to it because their young phenom superstar, Julio Rodriguez, who is the biggest star in Seattle at 21 years of age since A-Rod, since A-Rod and Ken Griffey Jr., they're going to have to make that decision, right? Because these young superstars, you're seeing it. They want 10 years. They want $400 million. They want those kind of securities. So far, so good on Julio, not so good on Tatis Jr.
Well, and among the most beloved Mariners, I never saw anything that would suggest that Ken Griffey Jr. or Ichiro used any of those performance enhancers. I think I could compellingly argue that on the winningest Mariner team of all time, that there were a few people.
I mean, maybe Brett Boone, maybe.
I wasn't going to name names.
I hate to throw him under the bus and speculate. Maybe the body changed a little from before to after to now current. Maybe, speaking of bodies, we started with bodies, we end with bodies. I mean, maybe if you looked at pictures, it changed.
Just a tad.
But I'm not going to speculate. I'm not going
to
throw him under the bus.
Goes from hitting 8 home runs to like 43.
Yes.
Oh man! Well, I'm just sorry they haven't gotten their arms around that problem yet. And then there's the other school of thought. Well, if everyone's doing it, just make it legal and let everyone do it. But then
well, it's much more punitive now, and I don't think it is as prevalent today as it was then. Certainly, the anabolic side of it, the McGuire and those Sosa and all those crazy bonds were on. You're not seeing that today. Are there still guys trying to beat the system with hormones or other things? I'm sure there are, but at least we're not in the silly, just blow up like a balloon anabolic days of the past.
But I tell you what, this cortisone, man, I can throw a frisbee now again. Yeah. It's amazing.
Maybe you could do that 42. Try that 42 incher with the cortisone.
Okay. And Brock Huard, you can hear him mornings on 710 Seattle Sport and all fall on Fox College Football. Thanks for dropping by. Good luck in all seriousness. Good luck with the back x-ray.
Okay, I'll take a picture of it. I'm not afraid of HIPAA. I'll take a picture and I'll send it to you.
Okay.
And you can judge it too.
And then I'll tweet it out.
No, just don't tweet it out. That's keep that private.
For my eyes. Just,
you and me and Nicole. Yep.
Okay. All right, there you go. All right, Brock, thanks for coming by. Appreciate it. We have lots more to come. This is the Dory Monson Show.
Take it. So old. Roll on.
Bring it on.
Hey, we haven't done this for a while, but we've got a couple stories in the news today. It is time for a cancel culture update.
This is your cancel culture update.
Yeah, and we'll start in the Empire State of New York, where there are no more inmates in the prisons. Have they cleaned them all out because they've eliminated all crime in the state? No. The governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, she has announced that even though crime is rampant in the state and particularly in New York City, she has signed a new bill that went into effect today that will discontinue use of the word inmate. She says it's discriminatory and racist. She sounds like the racist if she assumes that race is attached to being an inmate. That's on her. So according to the bill that she has now signed into law, the criminals in the prisons from today forward will be known as incarcerated individuals. And so, inmates, you have been
canceled.
By the way, can we call them incarcerated individuals? I thought it was like you can't say homeless people because then it's assigning homelessness as their most number one identifier. It'd be the same thing with incarcerated individuals. I think we should call them individuals who are experiencing incarceration. Okay, and then also, no more pedophiles. Does that mean that horrible crimes against children have ended? Well, again, no. Miranda Galbraith, a licensed professional counselor, is starting a movement to end the word pedophiles. She says that it unfairly marginalizes people who prey on children, and she would like them to, from now on, be referred to as minor attracted persons. And so, like inmates, pedophiles, you too have been
canceled.
This has been a cancel culture update.
Now back to your regularly scheduled program.
You know, back when I was a kid, minor attracted persons referred to me being kind of sweet on the gal who worked in the coal mine near my house in Ballard. No more. Okay, we're going to check the news for you here at the top of the hour. And then Bruce Harrell says he's going to clean up the problem that was created by Bruce Harrell. I have the audio to back all this up. And it's coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show.